beginning of that first reading from Wisdom makes a very important, categorically clear statement. God did not create death. God created us that we might have what? Life. So death came from where? Death came from where? From Satan. Why? Here's something that goes along with that. It's one of those concepts that humanity doesn't like very much. In fact, I think we struggle with it a lot more in our day and time. God punishes sin. Now, a lot of people don't like hearing that, but it is a simple, basic truth. God punishes sin. That's what happened to Satan and all those demons that went with him. They violated God's law. And so, what did they get? They don't cease to exist, but they wind up being cast out of heaven, and at the end of time, they will all be cast irretrievably into the everlasting fire of hell. When God created Adam and Eve and set them forth in the Garden of Eden, he gave them a warning. You may consume the fruit of any plant, tree in this garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he gave them a warning. If you violate this, this is what will happen. You will die. Now, did they immediately drop dead? No. In fact, if you go back to ancient Hebrew texts and try to translate them literally, which sometimes can be a challenge, it actually says, you will die, die. Why a double die? You know, obviously, you know, we know, we already answered that one, they did not immediately drop dead physically, but what happened to them spiritually? They died. The divine life of God that God had created them with, lost. They spiritually died. And then at some point in history afterwards, they also then physically died. And that's an infliction the entire human race has to deal with because at some point our life functions will cease and physically we will die. But this is one of those important buts. What else might happen to us if we live our lives and die in a state of defiance against God's will? We will not only just die, we will also die. You know, what does mortal sin do to our soul? Spiritually, we die. Unless we repent of whatever that was, at the time of our physical death, we will then be eternally dead as in separated from God and joining Satan and all the fallen angels. Where? In hell. Now, is that what God wanted? No, it's very clear in there. You know, God did not create death. Death comes about because of Satan's envy of the human race and his hatred of us. But that's not what God wanted for us. He created us that we might have life, not just life here on earth, but, you know, where do you want to be for eternity? About a third of you answered that question out loud. I'm a little bit worried about the other two thirds. Where do you want to be after the death of your body and Jesus comes again? We all hopefully want to be in heaven. What do we have to do? We have to be very careful and make sure we don't commit a violation of God's law that would give us eternal spiritual death. How much does God want us to not be eternally dead? The biggest, most power-filled answer to that question is what this is for here in the church. How much, how deeply, how profoundly does God want us to live? He died for us, that we might have deliverance from eternal death. This prefigured in so many places in the Gospels. There are two of them in today's Gospel passage. We have this woman who's been suffering from some sort of a hemorrhage for 12 years. She has this flow of blood that no physician and no amount of money has been able to cure her of. What's the significance of that? You know, this, think metaphorically here for a minute. Somebody who's bleeding for 12 years, what's that doing? Your life is, for some reason, flowing out of you, and if you lose enough of your blood, what happens? Why? You're dead. What's being said in there? You know, one of the things you need to think in Old Testament terms, God states very clearly in the books of Moses that, you know, the Hebrew people were forbidden to consume anything that had blood in it. Why? Because blood is life, and who gets the life? Who gets blood? You know, all those Old Testament sacrifices, when the animal was slain, whatever type of animal it was, what would they do with it? They would pour it on the altar as a sign of offering that animal's life to God. For which reason? You may not consume it. It belongs to life. Life belongs to God. So what's being done with that woman who has this 12-year-long hemorrhage? He's a sign. Here's something God wants to restore. The sins that we commit, spiritually speaking, it's like our spiritual life is hemorrhaging from us. And the more severe the sin, the more severe the hemorrhage, to which could lead us to be eternally dead. Our life flowing out of us completely. The little girl who dies in the gospel passage, what is she a sign of? Remember, in both cases, it took one touch. This woman has heard about Jesus. She comes up to him in the crowd and thinks, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she touches it, and what happens? She is healed. She's delivered from that loss of life. When Jesus touches the hand of that little girl, what happens? Her life is restored. And it's all aimed toward, targeted on what Jesus himself is going to do when he accepts dying on the cross for us. He does this in order that our life might be restored. When he rises from the dead, he's telling us something. This is what I want all of you to have. In the shed blood of Christ, who gave his life for us, he wants us to share in that life and be with him forever. That means, you know, one of the things that we need to grab from that is what we are choosing to do while we're here. Here's one of the big reasons why it's so important. It's basically a question that comes down to this. Who are you working for? God has done this that we might have life. Satan's work is to rob us of that life. Who are you cooperating with? Who are you cooperating with? Are you cooperating with the grace of God, listening to his word, living it, receiving the sacraments, receiving the sacramental power of God's graces? Cooperating with him, living in Christ, being faithful to him, listening to his word, loving God with your entire being, loving your neighbor as yourself. Are you doing that? Or are you working for Satan? Are you helping to rob life, rob your own life? And living in such a way that you are robbing the lives of others. The sins that we commit, there is no such thing as a victimless sin. Everyone that we commit is having some sort of an impact on people around us. Those sins, we're basically robbing somebody else's life along with robbing our own. Who are you working for? There are so many ways that can make itself manifest. But if you just want to think in contemporary terms, what about what's going on in our country? The culture of death is very much alive and well, alive, euphemistically speaking, because there are so many forces at work that are trying to plant ever deeper the culture of death, taking other people's lives unjustly. If you want to think in terms of politics, what's the driving force of one particular political party's trying to get themselves into office? What are they promising? Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court. What are they promising to do? To codify it into the law and enforce it upon every state in the union. Now, is that working culture of life, working for God, or is that working for the culture of death, working for Satan? I have time. I'm waiting for your answer. Who are you working for? That's a continuous question we need to be asking ourselves every single day. Are my actions my choices? Am I cooperating with God's desire for me to have life and to involve me in loving my neighbor to help them to have life and to flourish in it? Or am I working to tear it down? Am I destroying my own soul? And participating with, cooperating with things that would destroy the lives of someone else. You know, I find it tragic that the abortion industry tries to promote itself by saying this is health care, reproductive health care. How is that health care? You ever think logically through some of these statements that we hear in the news? In what way is brutally murdering an unborn child, health care? It's demonic. That's cooperating with Satan, who hates humanity and wants to destroy it. That's eating the fruit of the forbidden tree in the garden. We're taking it upon ourselves to decide what's right and wrong, and in defiance of what God said was right and wrong. Who are you working for? Being Catholic, and I mean being a faithful Catholic, is made up of making very deliberate, conscious choices of cooperating with the grace and the will, the love and the life of God, and rejecting all of the lies of Satan. What happens with us is made up of the choices that we are making while we're here. And remember what I started off with, God does punish sin. Not a popular idea, but it's reality. Do you want life? Do you want death? Your choices now are sowing the seeds of eternity for you. We see the great lengths that God has gone to for us that we might have life. Are we cooperating with them or living in defiance of them? One will bring us to eternity with God, the other will separate us from God eternally. You must answer for yourself, which do you want? If you want life eternal with God, you need to listen to him, follow his will, love him, and love your neighbor as yourself. Anything else is helping to further the seeds of the kingdom of Satan, of death. Which do you want?